Well, good morning, boys and girls, moms and dad, children of all ages. Yes, it's Fish and Frank, and he ain't dead. No, I didn't die over the last couple weeks. Thought I was going to a couple of times, but I made it through another bout. You know, they say, what doesn't kill you really screws you up for later. That's pretty much what I figured out. You know, this whole what doesn't kill you makes you stronger thing. No, it just weakens you up for when the next thing comes along and really slams your butt right into the ground. Lays you up in bed for a couple of weeks. So anyway, I haven't been here, but hopefully I'm back for a while. Visited a doctor today, and he said I'm doing, well, like I said, I ain't dead. So, you know, we're going to see what happens with all that here over the course of the next few weeks. See how I actually recover from all this. But in the meantime, radio fishing must go on. And into that, Fish and Frank in the chair. We have Captain Kale in the chair across from me. We have Captain Tom Fisher in the chair on the opposite side. And, you know, it's just one of those days where the crowd just loves it. We've got great guests. We got good fishing stories. We got all kinds of stuff covered up for you. So, okay, let's get right to it. Good morning, guys. How's it going?
Morning.
It's a little windy, but it's going.
Well, afternoon, I guess. It's 12:26, so I will rephrase that. Yeah, windy. Wow. You know?
Great day to catch up on some sleep that we much need.
Yes, definitely. That's why morning was acceptable. We haven't been up long enough for it to be afternoon.
Yeah. No, it's, you know, I'm getting so many emails and stuff. I mean, I hit my email program this morning after not being here for 10 days or whatever it was, and there's like 1,020 emails hit, and I bet you had 50 emails tell me how bad the fishing was. You know, oh, everything's going to heck, and the fishing's just horrible, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I'm like, I don't think so.
From this area?
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't, you know, I still think part of the problem is people are going by what they did last year for this year, and it makes a big difference each year. Because last year at this time, the water, the weather, everything was completely different.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's, I think you're right on that. Because it's not like it was last summer. It's like winter out there, almost on the east side of the harbor.
How so?
There's so many trout out there on the east side, it isn't even funny. There's more trout now than there was during the wintertime.
Tom, question for you, Captain Tom Fisher. Last year, from what I remember, I think we went through almost the same thing. There wasn't a lot of trout around the winter. Then all of a sudden, springtime hit. Do you guys remember that last year?
Oh, yeah.
Or is it just me? Am I going crazy?
Nope. You are crazy. But
yeah,
you're right.
I mean, that crap crazy. We know that. Yes. Everybody's kind of figured out. This is Frank. There's nothing. You know, the nurse said to me that, you know, she's doing my blood pressure and, you know, heart rates and all this other kind of stuff this morning and all that, and making sure I'm well enough not to die. And she says, yep, no, you're normal. I looked at her and said, man, thank you. That's the first time anybody said that to me. It's got to be almost 20 years, you know? So, anyway, Tom, did you notice that about the fishing this year?
It seems to me like we've been perhaps, like we're almost like a month or two changed. To where, you know, with the weather, we've almost rotated. And it's funny because I, on that subject, I was talking to a longtime fisherman here, Buddy Jones, about it the other day when we were sitting outside waiting to go pick up our clients. And I don't know, this is just stuff we were talking and throwing back and forth, but they were saying something about, actually there was three or four guides there and we were all huddled up just talking. And somebody had mentioned that with the last tsunami that came, wherever it was, that it actually it rattled the earth enough to where it moved it enough to where it's changed its seasons maybe a month or so. Now, what truth of that there is, I don't know, but it was really interesting.
Earthquake
to me. The tsunami that came, that wherever
tsunami.
It was.
The only way you're going to get a tsunami is by an earthquake.
Right. It was an earthquake.
Yeah, because the earthquake.
There was one that was somewhere they were talking about where it was.
Volcanoes, earthquakes, actually can adjust the tilt of the earth.
Yep.
pitch of it. But the Earth...
And that tilt has changed.
And the scientific fact of it is that we are, our Earth is not in a round orbit around the sun. It's more egg-shaped, if you will. And we are in a different orbit now than we were just a few years ago. The funniest part about it is, now according to what I read on the research about our orbit that we are entering into, the circle around the sun, we should be a few degrees cooler, and we're actually still a little warmer. So either somebody got something wrong.
Which I'm not sure they got it figured out yet. I see it's all new, but then again, like I say, you know, it's just a bunch of guys sitting around talking about it, you know, trying to figure out why, you know, we are late. We've been consistently for a few years now, a month or so late on everything, or early. Depends on how you want to look at it.
Yeah, because now, if you go back into time, back to the 80s and stuff, and early 90s, I used to tell people, don't even expect the tarpon to really be here in full strength till sometimes the first, second week of May.
Exactly.
And for the last few years, March, April, you know, we figure April is full bore tarpon.
Sure. July and August, though, we have so many tarpon here, it's phenomenal.
Yes. Yeah, it's incredible. I mean, the tarpon season has expanded so much over the course of the last few years that maybe we just weren't doing it that much 20 years ago, but I've seen a huge increase. It comes a little earlier, and they seem to stay a lot longer.
Now, definitely.
I think it could be. There also is a pronounced lack of bait all around the state, all around the country, the world, whatever. So maybe Charlotte Harbor's just got a lot of extra food in it that could be holding the fish here more longer.
The other day we sat out on the east side, and I can't tell you how many schools of big thread fins swam past us. And we were on the flats. Yeah. We weren't out in the deeper water. We were on the flats. And it was just school after school after school of big thread fins going by all day long.
Your theory, Tom?
I don't know. The bait seems to be hanging offshore. It seems to be on the outside, anywhere 10 to 15 miles off. It's solid. Why it won't come up into the harbor, I don't know.
Could be just simple as the rain.
It could be. There's no telling.
Now, if kale seam on the east side, that is the side that when you did get a good influx of incoming tide, the vast bulk of the water comes through Boca Raton Pass. 80% of that's going to travel up the east side north. And that's why that water's going to be different. So you're going to get more of the Gulf water there.
I don't believe any of the tides have changed. You still have your full moon. You still have your hill tides. You know, you still have your stronger effect through Boca Raton. I don't believe any of that's changed. You still have it every month. You still have your tides. But what has changed is we got 12 inches of rain in January. So your rivers flushed when they shouldn't have flushed.
Right.
You know, your Peace River, your Miaka, your Caloosahatchee, they flushed. 12 inches is a lot of rain for the state of Florida. That's a lot of flow coming out of your rivers.
The river's usually about 1.5 in January, and this year it was up over 10 for a while.
Yeah.
And the one difference that I have seen because of that, you're not seeing as many blue crabs out there free swimming like we did the last two or three years. In the last couple of years, you'd drive down the harbor on a good flat day and just thousands of blue crabs out there free swimming out on the surface. And this year, there's hardly any out there to be seen.
The Peace River right now in Arcadia is at 3.5 feet about. So you figure that's a foot and a half of water coming down at us, 728 cubic feet per second. So,
and check that number tomorrow and see what it says.
Yeah, because it was up a little bit. It fell a little bit yesterday to today. And now today, I don't, you know, obviously we won't know until some of this rain actually starts backing up on there. But yeah, according to the tides, I mean, I was watching because, you know, living on the water, you always want to look at the tides and all that. And some massive tides over the last few days. And they're right now they're hitting, you know, 6-8 o'clock at night, and at a 2.4, 2.5s, 2.6s, massive hill tides, big dumps overnight of water going from over 2 feet to less than a foot. So this is the time of year where usually we're getting the big clean out, and all that extra tide flush backed up by this extra foot and a half of water coming down the river, that's really putting some tremendous outgoing tides. I mean, when the outgoing tide hits, it looks like the toilet bowl flushing right now.
Yeah, it does.
Well, and another thing that's changed that I noticed that, you know, over that was actually last year it was late. This year, as it happened, that I've seen in the mass that it usually does, that's happened forever, is our water temperature has been much cooler and for a lot longer. And you can see that your rolling moss hasn't died off, and you haven't had the chicken noodle soup in the back bays. The rolling moss is still alive. It hasn't died off. Usually your water temperature in the back bays are reaching up and over 90 degrees now, and you got the huge, you know, kill off of the rolling moss, and you'll hear a lot of guides and a lot of people talk about it as poison water. Yeah. You can't get back in there because the water's poisoned because your bait dies and whatnot.
Well, it's very low oxygen. Mm-hmm. Once that rolling moss all starts to die, it starts the decaying process. Uses a tremendous amount of oxygen, so the oxygen levels are very, very low. Right now in Key West, 84.6 degrees, Naples, 83.7, and St. Pete, 83.3. Pensacola's at 82.9. So,
they're warm, but they're usually up in the 90s. And in some of the back bays in the shallow waters, you know, 2 miles up in the creeks, you'd get up close to 100 degrees.
Yeah.
And it's just not there. It hasn't happened in a couple of years. The rolling moss is actually going on top, and it's taken over. You know, it's just blooming. I mean, it hasn't died off yet. It hasn't been flushed out yet. So, you know, usually you can see it from Mount Lachey Two Pines all the way up to Ponce de Leon.
Gulf is 4 degrees cooler than average.
Yes.
For this month. We're supposed to, you know, it's actually between 3 and 4 degrees cooler than normal for this time of year.
But to put that in perspective, 4 degrees, a snook, for instance, well, you know, he starts getting lethargic and starts his die off at 60. 3 degrees over, he can swim fine. 2 degrees under, and he's dead for a period of 24 hours.
Right.
So that, just to put what 4 degrees is, it's not just 4 degrees. 4 degrees is huge when you're talking marine life.
Well, that and the difference, I mean, the basic one people always forget is if you have 32 degrees is a big different than 30 degrees,
sure,
which is a big difference than 35 degrees.
Exactly.
35 degrees, there's no ice.
That's it.
32 degrees, there's ice.
Everything's ice.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is, and you know, the boaters have noticed that it's not there. I mean, there's chicken noodle soup. You have what we call poison water at spots. It's happened in some certain spots, but it hasn't. We haven't had the whole wall, and the west wall or the east side. Either one hasn't had the big poison water effects that it's had in the past for years, and I mean forever. Last 30 years, you'd have a month and a half of you needed the tides to flush to get it out of there, and the last couple of years we haven't seen that. It's been spotty here and there, but it hasn't been. You haven't had the mass acreage of it.
No, and
rolling moss is still there. If you go up in the flats, you'll still see your rolling moss, and it's still thriving. It's still building. It's not dying off. It's doing fine. So that's a change that I've seen over the last couple of years too in the back bays. Does it help? I don't know. Does it take away from the eggs attaching to the turtle grass? I'm sure there's something in there that's going to happen. I mean, there's effects that take all the way through. But that's that 4 degrees, and that's what we're posted now. I imagine that'll go even lower with this fresh water, because that's cold water coming in with the rivers flushing in. So you may drop another 4 degrees.
I don't know if we're going to drop four, but it's definitely going to get it. The cloud cover and the rainwater both are going to combine to keep this water temperature down. And
by the way, is also great for hurricanes. Cooler water.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a give and take, you know.
Well, the warmer the water, the more intense the hurricane.
Sure.
Right.
So, you know.
You won't see that last-minute wobble up the harbor anymore.
When a buddy of mine called me, he lives up in New York, and he called me Monday, and he's asking me, are you okay down there? And, you know, I do business with him, but we've become friends. And I said, yeah, what are you talking about? He says, well, that tropical storm. He says, you know, are you guys evacuating or whatever? I said, do you evacuate every time you get a nor'easter? He's like, well, no, why would you? I said, why would you evacuate on a tropical storm? I mean, that's just, a tropical storm is nothing but a thunderstorm with a good publicity agent.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
They got great marketing for that tropical storm. It's kind of like the difference between the cute blonde down the street and Paris Hilton. One's got a much better marketing campaign, you know?
Well, it was interesting, though, how much hype that it got, especially from Charlotte County. I mean, you can tell Wayne Saladate, or whatever his name is, from Emergency Operations was out there trying to make himself relevant again. Jim Cantore was everywhere. I mean, these guys have been quiet for the past 10 years.
Oh, Cantore ain't been quiet, but
neither has Wayne Saladay. And he's you know what? They keep us up on it. And there's a lot of people listen and to him, and that's good. Taking precautions is great. Downtown Punta Gorda got flooded. A lot of water down there. They know it's going to happen on those tides and with the rain.
What do you mean they didn't know?
They should have happened.
They know. They knew it was going to happen.
Oh, okay, because I was going to say, now, years ago, back in the 80s and through the early 90s, before computers and all this other kind of stuff, I remember I'd be sitting at the store here, and the county would call me up and say, Frank, how much more water are we going to get? And I'd say, well, you know, okay, I need the wind speed and all this, and I'd do the calculations for it to tell how much more water. And then it's funny, a little while later, I'd see about the news saying, okay, we've got this much more water coming and all that. And it was funny because the Charlotte County basis for emergency was me sitting here with on a piece of paper with a pencil and a ruler going, okay, now wind, and I put that in, and literally doing it on the front counter here for them. And that was our storm preparedness for this county for several years. Well, I mean, I was right.
Well, so yeah, we're used to seeing it. We're out there every day. As I told Andrew, I think it was Thursday. Hey, yeah. Make sure you get up to Frank's and extend those pilings.
Yeah. When it's just funny now that we've got computers, everybody thinks, oh, you can do it with a computer. Like I said, I remember taking a tide chart and wind graph and, you know, going along and doing all the calculations, and I'd be within a couple inches, you know. But now you have to have a computer. It's got to come from the government.
Yeah.
It's just funny how life has changed. So, anyway, but we've kind of talked all around the fishing. Let's actually get into some of the fishing now. Kale, let's start with you. You were on the east side. You said you were seeing lots of fish. Were you catching any?
Yeah, oh, definitely. Lots of trout.
Well, it's not always a definite lake.
Lots of big trout, too. That, I think, was the really big surprise, is consistently upper slot, over slot trout. We've been seeing, you know, a lot of wintertime fish that you would normally expect out on the flats in the wintertime. Flounder sitting out there in the bottom. We've been catching a lot of pompano. There's been quite a few cobia running up and down the flats on the east side. Snook are doing phenomenal in there. The redfish have kind of started to go back into hiding a little bit. I think you've got to get way back on the east side to really find some decent redfish.
So, east side's doing pretty good right now.
Yeah, I think it's doing great. A lot of sharks, a lot of bonnetheads. They're everywhere out there. Seeing lots of small black tips going by, lots of ladyfish out there. Bluefish was the other thing that we got into the other day behind the bar.
Wow, this is really late in the year for bluefish. So I think we're going to have to defer to Tom with his, everything's a little late or a little early depending on what you go, because to have bluefish around at this time of year, that's really unheard of. I mean, and they're not big bluefish. They're 12, 16 inches, but, you know, nice bluefish.
Perfect,
but
shark size.
You know, great fish, but you're just not expecting them. Now, Tom, you like that lower end of the harbor, and I know you fish the east side and all that. Have you been through Pernell and Sound lately?
Yes.
dun.
Well, in an overall view, to me, this year has just been down in numbers. I didn't see the big mackerel schools.
No.
I didn't see the big bluefish schools with them. The tarpon kind of hung out for a very, very, very short period of time on the bars and reefs. They're scattered. You'll see one, you'll see two, you'll see three. There wasn't the clumps I haven't found them myself this year inside the harbor, hanging for, it's like, kind of like a flush. They come in and they go out, they're moving. They haven't really hung for 2 weeks, 3 weeks.
Like last year, yeah, it was almost a month they hung out there below Burt's store last year.
Well, you know, we have the north hole and the middle hole and the south hole. And both of them, you know, they got up in there this year, but you haven't seen the fluctuation in the boats.
Carted out the door.
I didn't know if he was asking him to move over or for stir fry. Yeah. I was confused.
I think he was asking for a stir fry there at one point. It was somewhere between landing a plane and asking for stir fry vegetables with, you know.
But I was impressed. He didn't just push me over. I mean, he did ask. That's usually, he just knocked me around. So, but you know, overall, it just, I haven't seen the numbers come in. Yes, there's mackerel in the harbor, and everybody's catching them here and there and whatnot. But the big mackerel schools that we've been getting in, you know, I just haven't seen them. Again, go 10 miles off. Really? Wow, it's unbelievable.
All right, before we get there, Kale, have you been up around Hog Island at all?
No, I haven't been around Hog Island. I fished the west side.
Have you been up on Hog Island at all?
Myakka, the cut?
Yeah.
On the outside, I've been there for tarpon. I mean, I make that run because they should be there. They should be at the south end of the Myakka there in the hole, by the first marker, which is no secret.
Have you been doing anything up there?
I haven't seen them at all.
Okay.
I made some bounces up there and went, and turn around and go back.
All right, so let's flip back. Tom, have you been on the west side at all?
West side, yes, west side. Your creeks are starting to flow out pretty good, it seems like. You know, the water is movement. I tell you, you know, what I'm seeing is lack of, and not so much what everybody wants. The redfish count for me is way down. It's way, way, way down. The snook are, no, we took them off the board. We took them out for 2 years. And it definitely shows that that helped. It strived back for them. It used to be redfish was everybody's goal, and redfish wasn't anything to catch. I mean, you could catch them at will pretty much. And then you caught snook. You know, snook was your big fish. Wow, we caught this today. And that has turned, to me, 180 degrees around, where snook is the fish that you're catching now. And if you catch a redfish, then you're like, holy cow, I caught a redfish today. Look at this one.
Well, look how much extra pressure the redfish had. While snook was closed.
Well, ton of it. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And we've paid for that.
And on top of the redfish not getting a break, by any means, anywhere, by anybody,
no,
from your average everyday fisherman to your weekend fisherman to your guide fisherman to your tournament fisherman, I mean, redfish have just, they've been your ticket. They're the ones that more or less got picked on. But what I'm seeing the lack of is their bait. The bait to me is just way down. Your sand bream, you can't hardly find the 1,000-pound schools running down the west wall, coming out of the creeks and the high tides, and you know, flushing, going back and forth. I haven't seen a decent sized sand bream. And when you see sand bream, a school sand bream, you know your snook's there. Yeah. You know your big reds are there.
Now, how have you been doing on the west side, Kale?
Not as good as usual. Like Tom said, I've seen the redfish fall way off, the snook have fallen way off, and he's right, you're not seeing those big school of sand bream. You're seeing schools of 20 and 30 go by instead of 200 or 300 go by. I haven't worked the flats out in front of the west side at all. There's a ring of crab traps out in front of the west wall that we've been fishing for triple tail. That's kind of a nice bonus.
Now, I keep hearing a lot about triple tail, and I know that this is historically a pretty good month for up harbor triple tail, but this is going to be one of the best years ever in triple tail.
It is.
Yeah.
So, okay, Tom, got any triple tail stories?
Down in Mount Lachey, there was a few that, you know, were hanging out there for a while, and we got on them pretty good. And then there again, offshore, if you run any of your buoys in the ICW, it seems like in the ICW is where I'm finding them. I check all the markers. I check all the crab trap lines, you know, up the harbor. I haven't found anything to go to. And when I say go to, I got to do it every day. You know, I got to be able to go up somewhere and, you know, and within 10 stops, you got to be able to produce. ICW, I got to go there for it. I can't find that in the harbor.
Now, Kale, how are you doing triple tail in the harbor or anywhere?
Decent. I wouldn't say it's great. I mean, there's not a whole lot of crab traps out there in the harbor for them to hide under. So if you find a string, run down through them. And the nice thing about them is they're not usually as spooky as they are, and they're hungry. We made a trip. The guy that I had with me lives up there behind the up behind you. He's an ammo manufacturer. He's made ammo for the past 20 years. He's shot over probably 2-3 million rounds. The guy is just stone deaf. And when we sat there drifted by the buoy, I said, okay, stop, kill the motor. And all he heard was stop. He didn't kill the motor. So you got an old two-stroke rattling away on the back of this boat. The triple tail didn't care. And we were throwing 17 MRs. And even if it wasn't close to the buoy, they'd come screaming off that buoy 20 feet to go grab that 17 MR and chase it right down.
Well, so I'm going to say I'm about half right that there's a lot of triple tail around this year. I've had more triple tail stories, more people catching them, be it drifting with bait in the middle of the harbor, cut piece of fish, cut sardines. Thread fins, shrimp.
They're not being picky.
Mueller MR-17s. I've really just heard a lot about triple tail, and you know, that's something considering. You know, I was at the house, and you know, I got a couple of phone calls. People, you know, how you doing, and all that, and then you know, tell me a little bit about what's going on in the fishing world. But it's a pretty good year on the triple tail. Let's change gears. Go for Bull Turtle Bay, Tom. Bull turtle bay?
Well, this time of year, usually you back bay fish on your off bite of your tarpon. For me, anyhow, in my charters, I'm doing a lot of tarpon, and then, you know, you're not hitting your change of your tide, you know, I bounce out on there for back bay fish. So, the snook are on the beaches, you know, they're out there, and they've migrated out there to your bigger snook. So we're doing more of our snook fishing on the beach, Redfish Pass, North Captiva Pass, South Key Acosta, any kind of the drag down lines or any of the trees out there. So, all seem to be producing just, you know, spawning fish out there.
Okay. Kale, you been to Bull Bay, Turtle Bay?
I haven't been down there in months.
All right. Well, I guess now, Tom, let's get to what you wanted to talk about. Let's go out and talk about the Gulf of Mexico. What's going on in the Gulf of Mexico out there?
Well, it seems, and there's different reasons. Everybody has, you know, their own theories. I believe everybody touches a theory one way or the other of the Lake O dump. You know, and they're dumping water. They've dumped water because of the 12 inches we got in January. And Naples is filling it. Fort Myers Beach is filling it. The Coosahatchee's filling it. I believe that we had, you know, we all filled it up here, not as much as the dirty water because we had the two rivers up here to push it and hold it down south, and that's just fortunate for us. But I think it does have a problem and a lot to do with the bait situation coming in this year. So I think a lot of fish that usually come in on their big swing in didn't come in because of that reason. The water temperature, the clarity of it, I'm not exactly sure what it is, but they just didn't come in, so they held up. They don't have to. They don't have to come in.
So have you been in the Gulf? How's the fishing out there?
Well, if you get outside...
Hang on a minute, Tom. let me empty that spit cup for you there.
I'm good.
Hang on. There we go. All right. We got that cup emptied for you. All right. So now what were you saying?
So if you get out a little bit, you know, you've got your fit. You've got the bait. Like I say, the bait's out there really, really thick. So, and then you have your ladyfish, and you have your mackerel, and you have your bluefish. And believe it or not, I found a bunch of schools of jacks out there. amberjacks that are usually more up in the harbor this time of year. Now, usually you find the big schools up inside the holes and running around, coming in and out, doing their migration or whatever they're doing. But they're just, I've just seen huge schools of jacks out there. Spot them way off. I mean, you know, pop in the water and you run over to them, and that's good. You know, that's great fun for an hour.
I've heard about bonita. I've heard blackfin tuna. I've heard jack crevel, amberjack. Geez, I mean, the list goes on and on and on. Terry, the wife, Terry Robert, and Charlie from Quantum were out, and they got some beautiful groupers. They limited out on grouper, all three of them did, and plus a bunch of snappers and a bunch of other stuff. But they had a ball out there. Ah, the wild thing.
Follow the elephants. It's time to run.
Follow the elephants, yes.
Okay. Well, I got two boats that I'm affiliated with that we run, and they're offshore boats. And on our charters that they're running out, they're doing great. I haven't heard an offshore guy say they haven't done great. There's plenty to catch out there, whether it's what you want or not. You know, what you're targeting that day, it goes with everything, everybody.
But you're going to get...
But you're going to be tired when you come back in. You're going to pull on things until you're done.
You're going to be tired, and you're going to have a whole cooler full of fish. I mean, one species or another, there's a bunch of fish on those reefs. But it's been surprising. Now, anybody heard about king mackerel going on? I know we still got a lot of Spanish in the Gulf. I haven't really been around for the last 10 days, so I don't know what happened with the Spanish or the kings or anything out there.
Well, from what I know from my boats, what I'm getting back, there's so much that I haven't heard of anybody really going for them. I hear them picking them up here and there. But the sharks are so phenomenal out there right now. And the barracuda actually are so phenomenal out there right now that everybody's hanging into them. They're not really,
sounds going to me.
Yeah, they're going for them.
Now, Cale, you been doing any shark fishing up in the harbor?
Not very much for that very reason.
Okay.
They're all out there 5-10 miles offshore where all their food is.
Gotcha.
You're not seeing a whole lot. I mean, we're already halfway basically through June.
Right.
I should be in triple digits on big sharks.
Yeah, exactly.
By now. I should be well over 100 fish. And I've got two.
Really?
Yeah. One big bull, one big lemon.
I'll be damned.
They're not... The little guys are up here. I think a lot of your little guys are a little bit more tolerant of... the fresh water that we've been seeing.
If there's a lot of big sharks in the Gulf, the little ones are going to be up here. They're going to be wherever the big sharks aren't. Because the sharks are smarter than us. They eat the little ones, you know.
But it's, nowhere near what it should be right now.
Yeah, when sharks are born, you get this amount of time. And you go off, do your own thing, or I'll eat you.
See, and my gauge is always the tarpon guys. Now, the last couple of years, the tarpon guy has been coming in here and just absolutely complaining about the sharks.
Right.
And they're not doing it this year.
All right. Well, let's get into tarpon. Cale, you've been doing any tarpon fishing?
I've done a couple trips, and that's it, which makes me happy. And they were all up here inside the harbor. And like Tom touched on earlier, they just didn't hang out the way they should. Now, we should be getting into the time for those little guys to start dumping out of the canals and looking for some better food, but with the lack of bait, are they going to do that? Or are they going to stay in the canals and feed?
Now, I thought you were saying there was a lot of bait over on the east side.
There is, but it's not coming as far up into the harbor as it normally would. You get a couple days, you'll see them.
I'm kind of just getting confused here. I'm trying to keep up.
Usually, this time of year, you should be able to walk on top of the thread fins from marker 2 to the 41 bridge.
Right.
And it's just not there. They're all staying down south. They're staying on the east side where that better water's coming in.
Okay. Now, Tom, you've been doing much tarpon trips. I mean, usually this time of year, you're back to back to back to back.
We're rolling. Yeah, we're going good on them. And again, we got the weather. You know, about every time they get to where you're like, whew, forever it was cold. It's been cold this year.
And yes, the water temp.
The air temp, too. In the mornings, but before daylight when you get out, you're still wearing sweatshirts and sweatpants.
Yeah,
it's cold.
In the morning?
It's cold. And And I'm freezing out there in the mornings, getting my bait and getting picking up. And it just seems that it was cold, and then we had wind. All year we've had wind. It hasn't laid down to bend. We haven't had the slick, hot days to where people just, look, we crank your boat up and run around for 15 minutes, and then let's go fishing again. We haven't had that. I haven't had that this year.
No, not at all.
Yeah, everybody says, well, I'm going to mount fans in the boat. I said, yeah. Isn't that what the outboard's for?
Exactly.
You get that out. Fire that sucker up. Do about 25, 30 mile an hour for a little while. You cool right down.
Yeah, you've had the wind. You've had the Gulf wind. Sea breeze kicks in, and we've had that. But we've always had the east wind.
Been pretty spectacular.
Yes.
Kicking in around 2 o'clock in the day.
Yep.
And, man, that thing makes it lumpy out there. It has just been going nuts.
So
Captain Mike Myers. Hey, buddy. Here, just swing that one around to the side there.
What am I doing?
Well, just hang on. I'll readjust it so you can get in there. Hang on.
I can bend over. I've been doing that most of my life. All right, I'm almost there, guys. I almost got it. There you go.
All right. You, Captain Mike Myers, you just handed me a cigar. What's up, buddy?
I am now a grandpa.
Grandpa Mike.
Grandpa Mike. Oh, my
God.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you.
Tell you what, he smells better than the other two.
Yep.
Tom Fisher.
Nice to meet you, sir.
Captain Tom Fisher, one of my oldest and best friends, and this is Captain Mike Myers. Hangs around Josh Olive. He's, I would have to say, you like doing nearshore and intercoastal stuff a little bit more.
Yeah, nearshore, intercoastal, tarpon, sharks, obviously sharks, but...
But very good friend of mine, also a bass player. We get together.
There you go. He
comes out to the house, and we have he's
jams.
Yeah, we play music out there.
Well, I let him do
great
all the
guitar
bass work
player.
Now, so.
Yeah,
I've been trying to learn how to play the guitar. So
yeah. Is it okay if I actually smoke this?
Oh yeah.
All right, I'm gonna give it a shot. I haven't had a cigar, and I can't even remember when.
Yeah, I got the good stuff out for the Fish and Frank's crew here, so...
Yeah, these look good.
Arturo Fuentes.
So, we were just kind of talking. Tom, you've been... he's been doing a lot of tarpon trips. How are you doing on charters?
Great. Yeah, I'm basically 2 a day right now, except for this storm kind of messed me up a little bit, but... and had to rebook them. I got 3 tomorrow, if I can actually get out there.
Yeah, this is the time of year we'll make it or break it on that.
How's
it? Okay, let's start with you, Mike. But what's the tarpon bite been like? Are they? Do you guys recognize this? I just happen to be sitting on my desk.
Subsurface
Rapala.
Yep. That's a huge walk the dog for
subsurface walk the dog.
Probably more for tuna than it is for redfish. I would imagine
straight out tarpon.
Yeah,
that is the sleeper tarpon hit of the times right now.
Yeah, I could definitely, if you hand it to me, I'll use it.
Me too. Well, I'd hate putting trebles in the hands of my customers.
No, no. I've got the VMC single hook replacement for the back. You flatten the barbs in the front, treble hook, just crush them down flat because they're not really necessary. Then you put the big VMC single hook replacement on the back, and absolutely this year's sleeper hit. The only way I found out about it was one of the guys, they were going out of town because they didn't want me to hear about it.
Right.
Trying to buy them out of town so I wouldn't tell anybody about them. So I gave them a year of nobody knowing and ordering them for them. And then I said, okay, but next year I get to talk about it. Yeah, it was the hottest thing going.
Well, I could definitely use that on some days because those fish, I don't know how you've been doing, but some days they just do not want to cooperate. I've been getting one almost every single trip, at least one, at least jumping 2 or 3, but it's, I was out there with Carl the other day, and we were on a pot of fish. I think we jumped 4 in like 6 hours. I mean, it was not a great bite. It was just hit and miss, but the next morning you go out there and you land 6. You just never know out there in this time of the year. Plus all the crowds, everybody's running them over, and you having that problem out there? People running
Absolutely.
Your fish over?
Well, I don't get out there that often. I think I've been in the pass once or twice this year.
Yeah, I stay out of the pass now. I try to avoid it. And I have to apologize to a guide because I ran his fish over a couple days ago.
What happened?
He was chasing him down the beach, and I didn't recognize what he was doing, and I was looking hard for myself, and I'll be darned if I didn't look over, and I ran him slap over. I mean, the fish rolled 10 feet in front of me, and I'm doing 30 miles an hour, and I slammed on brakes, and I'm looking around, but the guy was like 150 yards off of him. But he actually came up and confronted me, and I was like, I didn't see you, I'm sorry. But it happens this time of the year. There's so many boats and so many things are going on out there, and sometimes you can't recognize what these guides are doing, myself included. I get ran over at least 10 times a day.
I would say probably about 30% of the time it's very accidental. Doing that to you.
Yeah.
It doesn't make it any less frustrating, but it's still, you know, I mean, one of my most embarrassing days on a charter is I came out from a group of islands coming out on a Gasparilla Sound, and I'm cutting across the flat, and I look, and there stands Danny Latham with his hands out like, really? Are you kidding me? Yep. And
you of all people?
Yeah. I mean, I've known Danny since he was 12 years old, and he's just sitting there looking at me like, with his hands, you know, just in this, like, are you kidding? And there were so many boats out there and so many things. I came popping out, and I was just trying to, running real skinny, trying to figure out where I was going, keep my eyes on what I was doing, not the whole general area. No other boats were coming at me, and I just didn't notice Danny there, who I guess had been push-poling for 45 minutes trying to get up onto those school of redfish. Now, I will say my defense that Danny did call me later and apologize for that, because my boat running across pushed them redfish right up to him, and they had a great day.
Yeah.
Because, well, he was super quiet. I came blasting, you know, out of there, just scared everything right back over and put him right by his boat. So, you know, I got lucky. My one huge indiscretion working out, you know, the fish gods were kind to me at that point.
It happens. I mean, how many times have you been fishing on the east side and I've had to call you and apologize?
It happens.
Because I come flying around a corner to go fish, but there's fish.
Well, and in a guide's mind, we're usually two holes ahead of ourselves.
Yep.
If this one's not hitting, where am I going next? And you're already thinking, so when you're coming out of a hole, going to another one, you're thinking, okay, I'm going to go over here, I'm going to go over there. You know, you're concentrating on what you're doing that day.
Right.
And you're not, you know, paying attention to what exactly you're doing that moment. And that's what, it happens to everybody. And if it doesn't happen to you, you're not fishing. Yeah. Either you're not getting ran over, you're not fishing, and if you haven't run somebody over, you're not fishing.
That phone call afterwards is a big thing.
That's a huge thing. That's, you know, hey, it happens, and it makes you feel, you know, a lot better, you know, when you hear something like that.
A little bit of, I'm sorry. I was sorry.
Yeah, it happens. That's what you hope you get sometimes. Sometimes you don't get that response. Sometimes you get, you blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I mean.
Oh, excuse me.
So, anyway, let's actually give one bit of information here. Tom, what would you say best thing, if you're going to go up and down the ICW, cut bait, live threads, dead fish, shrimp, lures, what's
catch
the
anything?
Tarpon bait right now?
I'd use thread fins.
Okay, live threadies. All right, Captain Mike, what's your...
I've been talking about this for a few years, and it's the last week has actually panned out for me very, very well, but a 3/4 ounce jig head with a DOA paddle tail on it. When those fish stop biting, or people are running them over and they're hammering them, and your crabs aren't working and your threadies just aren't getting eaten like they should be, sometimes that little soft plastic does the trick. It's helped me out a lot this last couple weeks. So
hey, that's the kind of stuff that can be critical need to know, because when they're biting, they're biting, but when they're not, that's the kind of stuff you look for, is because when everything you're supposed to be doing doesn't work, that separates the men from the boys.
Absolutely.
That separates the women from the girls. You've got figuring out that one little trick that may entice that last little bite out of there, where otherwise it just wasn't going to happen. That's the big thing nowadays.
Yeah, it's, you know, especially with tarpon.
By the way, thank you. I haven't had one of these, and no, I'm not. I would never light up in the studio. That wouldn't be proper.
No.
No, I would never do that. So I'm not enjoying this grandbaby cigar.
Yeah.
So, congratulations. Now, a grandbaby, boy or girl?
Girl. Her name is Madeline Lilly. I'm leaving Saturday morning, bright and early, 6 a.m., to Fort Myers to fly out to Fort Riley, Kansas, because my daughter and her husband are stationed there. So, my wife's been there for 2 weeks. So
isn't
I'm
that
a
Air Force?
Man.
Is that Air Force?
Army.
Army.
Okay. Yeah. They're both MP. Well, Allie's already out. She got her time in and got her GI Bill, the whole nine yards. But her husband stayed in. He just made sergeant last month. So congratulations to that. That's pretty...
It's pretty big. Very tough.
But yeah, he's an MP, and she's now just a mommy. So it's kind of cool.
It's actually
and I'm a grandpa. Cool. And I got a grandma for a wife. It's cool. I'm still trying to get it to go through
my
head.
You could have gone the whole thing. I was going to say, you know, you're going to have to tell your wife about the show and everything. And then you came up with it. I'm married to grandma.
Yeah.
You were doing so good up until that point.
It doesn't get better. I'm going to recommend that for 5 years, and it's still the same.
Yeah. Oof. I really wouldn't mention you were on the show today.
Yeah, I would probably won't now. Yeah. But, of course, on the other show, they're going to hammer me on that one. So I'm going to I might have to move in with you. You never know. After this was it. But Stacy's handling it well. Once the baby was born, the nurse called her grandma, and she started tearing up, and she said it was the best tears she's had in years. So something
well,
about
that's pretty
that
cool.
little baby sitting there and...
But I got to warn you, it's different when the nurse does it and you do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, you can do it when in private, but the first time you do it, like at the grocery store, grandma, not going to be so good.
Yep. That's funny, because I've called Stacy basically mama her whole life. I mean, ever since we've been married and we had a first kid, it's I call her mom. The kids always called her mom. I always called her mom, so... God, I hope I don't slip with that grandma.
It might not be pretty.
Yeah.
If he comes to practice with a bag under each arm, you know he slipped.
Yeah, right.
So, anyway, any advice for people fishing before we wrap up this edition of Radio Fishing?
Advice? Be safe. It's a weird time of the year with so many boats out there all the time.
A lot of weird weather. Keep your eyes on the weather.
Yep.
I mean, there's no excuse for it nowadays. So many people have smartphones. I wish I did. I got that flip phone, and it's great. I'm probably going to end up staying with it. But, you know, I don't have to answer text messages. I don't have to do anything. It doesn't do it anyway. I've tried 18 times to figure out how to answer a text message, and it goes to some kind of... saved thing, but it never goes anywhere else, you know. Oh. So, but you know, with the radar on the phones now, and you can get wind apps and you know, all that stuff to really, you know, plan your day out. Really look not so much for what the weather's like when you're leaving, but what the weather's gonna be like 4 hours later.
Yeah,
you know, double check that out. It's a real neat tool, those you know, smartphones.
Yeah.
So,
and always remember this. It's really hard to tell your fish of a lifetime story when you don't make it back to the dock. So,
yeah, I'll go along with that one. So, any last bits of words of wisdom from you, Captain Tom Fisher?
I don't know if I have any wisdom, but you know, even though that we don't have the hot days that we've been having for the last few years overall, it's still important to keep hydrated. Found a lot of people still this year with it, with the cloud cover and it still being in the 80s and with the wind, it doesn't seem as hot, but you still need to keep, you know, keep water on the boat, keep liquidated, and watch your consumption.
Yeah, and number one rule is, if you like drinking Gatorade, take a bottle of water, bottle of Gatorade, at least mix it half and half. Dump, you know, half the Gatorade, half water, mix that together, because all Gatorade is not good for you when you're out there. If you're out there every day, it'll mess up your kidneys, it'll mess up all kinds of stuff.
Cholesterol, I just found that out. It has a little bottle of Gatorade has 130 grams or whatever it is, 130 of sodium and salt.
Yeah.
And your cholesterol, if you drink Gatorade nonstop every day out there on the boat, it goes up, and then you get a little orange pill.
Yeah, when you work major construction sites like at the oil spill, it's one third Gatorade, two thirds water.
Yep,
that's what.
But stay hydrated. Hydrated, it's huge. It's huge.
So, anyway, Captain Kale. So, last words of wit and wisdom here.
Coming into summer, a lot of people down here are going to have families visiting, kids with them. And we go through this every year down here. Family down, where should I go? Hit that east side. It's simple, easy fishing. Take some of your normal artificials. Take some shrimp with you. Get those kids on some fish. Get them hooked on fishing. The first thing to do it is instant gratification. And that's what the fishing's been like on the east side. It's been really easy.
Cool.
Get out there and take advantage of it.
Excellent. All right. Well, let's see. I think the crowd says, okay, they approve of your messages. They think everything's good. So I guess what we're going to do is switch to getting out of here. All right. There we go. We got the guitar music up. And Fish and Frank here in the chair. And we got Captain Kale, Captain Tom Fisher, and Captain Mike Myers. And we appreciate you guys listening to Radio Fishing. Thank you so much. If I kill all the correct volumes and leave the one open that's supposed to be open. But thank you, boys and girls. It's nice to be back, and it's good not to be dead. So I'm real happy that I ended up not dead. So we'll catch you on the next Radio Fishing. Thank you, guys. Bye-bye, and so long.